Amen. Let's just pray real quick. Lord God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you, God. We glorify you, God. We just commit this time to you, God, as we dive into your word, God, for the word that's going to be brought forth. God, I pray that every mind, heart, ear shall be open to receive, God, what it is that you have to say, God, that they would take it, God, that it would be planted firmly in their hearts, God, and that it would take root, Lord God, and flourish into whatever it is, oh God, that you have purposed it for. We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm so excited, and I'm so thankful that God speaks through all things. When you're communing with him and when you talk to him, it's actually funny because yesterday at the women's event, Sister Alicia had mentioned about how the movie Nemo spoke to her, and certain things in the movie kind of reminded her of God, and it made me giggle because inside, today I will be referencing a movie. I'm not sure if you've all seen The Avengers or if some of you even care, but if you've seen The Avengers Endgame, if not, and you want to see it, I hope I don't spoil anything. But I'm just going to share a little part that really, really spoke to me, and it's what I want to speak about today. So this guy's called Thor, right? Have any of you guys seen Avengers or any Marvel movies? Okay, good. If not, I'll give you a little background on him. It's okay. So this guy is Thor, right, the god of thunder, and he's got this hammer that you can only receive if you're worthy of the hammer. So in his movies, he received it because he was worthy to hold it, to yield this great weapon. Now in this movie, The Endgames, it takes place after this bad guy snapped and half the world disappeared. So Thor had the chance to get rid of it. He was like really close to getting rid of this bad guy, and he missed the opportunity. So a lot of his friends, they died. So he kind of went into a depression, and you see that in the beginning of this movie. He became depressed. He's like, I am this mighty warrior, and I had the chance to save these people. And you see him, he used to be this fit guy, and now he's this fat guy in this movie. He's got this huge belly, and he's drinking. He's depressed. He's in a depression. And I'm sure that sometimes when we go through depression, we feel unworthy. We don't feel like we're worth much. So he kind of went through that. But there's a part of the movie, the part that I'm going to talk about, when he goes back in time and he calls for his hammer, and it goes into his hand, and he says, I'm still worthy. He had that epiphany that even though he had become this guy, depressed, he's fat, he's drinking, and he reaches out for the hammer and it still comes to him, and he realizes, wow, I'm still worthy of it. You'll get it later on in the message. We're going to talk about a guy in the Bible who some people don't think he should have ended up the way he did, but who are we? God calls those he calls. We're going to talk about Saul. Saul's conversion. And we're going to pull that up. Saul's conversion. I don't know if you could see it, but it's in the book of Acts. Acts 9, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 18. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man, all the harm he has done to you, your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Worthy. I love definitions, so you're going to get one. The definition of worthy, it's an adjective. Having or showing the qualities or abilities that merit recognition in a specified way. Or a noun, a person notable or important in a particular sphere. So this man, Saul, you would not find him really worthy of being chosen by God. He was persecuting Christians, right? He jailed them, he killed them, he went after them. You were a Christian and Paul saw you were done for. So he was a Pharisee. Now the Pharisees, sometimes it can get confusing, right? There's Pharisees and Sadducees, and you're like, who are these people? But the Pharisees accepted non-biblical traditions as being important, as important as the written Bible. So they accepted words from other people and said, that's just as important as the Bible. So sometimes they made their own rules and said, that's the word, even though it wasn't. Right? He was smart. He was a scholar. It says he was able to quote extensively from the Greek translation. He knew the word of God. And it's funny, sometimes we can know the word of God and still do the wrong thing. That has absolutely nothing to do with the word of God. And like I said, he persecuted Christians. He was an awful man. He was awful. You see, in verse 13, it says, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. Ananias couldn't believe that God was sending him to lay hands on this person. He's like, why? Like, this is great. He can't see those Christians walking down. This is awesome. He's like, yes, that's a God thing. I'm team Jesus all the way. But God said, I've chosen him. God chose him as an instrument. The next slide, it says flawed, broken, imperfect, still worthy. Saul was flawed, he was broken, he was imperfect, but God said he's still worthy, and that is us. Even sometimes we think, oh, that's us before our Christian walk. No, that's still us today when you're saved. We're still flawed, we still mess up, but Jesus says you're still worthy. I love that song, Worthy of It All. Though we're singing to Jesus, there's some times where we could say, wow, I'm worthy of it all because Jesus gave his all for me. He's still worthy. Now, Saul could have, you know, opened his eyes and said, wow, I was an awful mess. I don't deserve to be called by God. I don't deserve, you know, thank you, God, for opening and restoring my sight, but I don't deserve to go out and teach others about you. I don't deserve this. I'm this awful person, and sometimes that's us. God, I don't deserve this. I have messed up. I was at the bar again last night, and I promised you I'd never do it. I was smoking again, and I promised you. I was sleeping with somebody again, and I promised you. We're flawed. We're broken. We're imperfect, but we're still worthy. But sometimes, instead of taking the label worthy, we start to take the label of worthless. And Saul could have done that. He could have said, I'm worthless. Worthless means having no real value or use. Having no good qualities deserving contempt, and some synonyms are good for nothing. Ne'er-doer, do well. Useless, despicable, contemptible, base, low, vile, abject, debased, degraded, ignominious, mean, corrupt. It goes on. These are awful words. And we label ourselves as, when you say I'm worthless, you're saying I'm good. You're good for nothing. That's a lie, a lie, a lie. We're going to get into that. It's a lie from the devil. It's a lie. It's a lie. He would love for us to think that. John 10:10 says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. It's a lie from Satan. It's his way to steal, kill, and destroy. When you start having those, I love how God works. We were talking about, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely. Think on those things. But it's Satan thinks he's won when he's like, if I could get them to feel worthless and not impart that scripture that they were just taught, if they totally forget about it, he can literally just stop you from fulfilling your destiny just by making you feel worthless. When we feel worthless, we're like, there's no purpose in me. There's no point. Like, I'm just going to be a regular average person because I've messed up so much. There's no way I can do great things. It's a lie. Satan does not want you to fulfill your purpose. He knows that God has called you. He knows from the beginning of time, right? In Psalm 139:13-16, For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. The devil knows the scripture. He knows that we were formed. Before even we were formed, God knew us, that God chose us. So he knows that if he can make us think I was an accident, that he could totally make your world crumble, that nobody wanted me. He could totally destroy your future. So he doesn't want you to realize that God has chosen you, that he has called you. He just wants to stop you where you are. I put, once you know your worth, nothing can stand in your way, not even the devil. Once you know your worth, nothing can stand in your way, not even the devil. Nothing can stand in your way. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. When we start to feel worthless, right, those negative thoughts start coming to our mind, we have to remember, would God make something worthless? If I'm created in his image, so I'm, like when he sees us, we're kind of a reflection of himself, besides the bad stuff that we do. But he made us in his image, so why would he make something worthless? If God is not worthless, then we're not worthless. It says it from the beginning. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. How to fight feeling worthless. How do we fight feeling worthless? The word of God. That's the only way. Because the word of God has promises. The word of God tells you who you are. The word of God shows you your identity. The word of God reveals to you that's a lie. If what you're being, what is going on in your brain does not line up with the word of God, I don't want to say your brain. What is being spoken into your ear does not line up with the word of God, then it's not him. That's, you know, some people say, how do I discern something from God and something from the enemy? God's never going to go against his word. So if you look in the word and you don't see anything about you being worthless, then it's a lie straight from the devil. And you can say, Isaiah 43:4, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. In Matthew 10:31, so don't be afraid, you are worth more than sparrows. When you begin to dig into the word of God, you are able, there are so many scriptures that I could be quoting that show you that you are not worthless, that God said you're worth more than rubies, you're worth more than diamonds. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God chose you, which means you're of worth. It requires a transformation of the mind. Romans 12:2 speaks about transforming of the mind, and people forget that the only way to transform your mind is through the word, is having truth enter. We talked about garbage in, garbage out this morning in Sunday school. I can't transform my mind if I'm not filling with anything for it to be transformed. I can't just walk around transforming my mind, going to some meditation class and believe you're transforming your mind if you're not putting anything in it. The word of God is what transforms, right? I love our logo, transformation is here. It's through Jesus, the word of God. That's where we find it. When we dig into his word, we will constantly find that he can transform those thoughts, those anxieties, those fears of being nothing, of being less than. You could say, oh, I just got out of college and I have no job. You know, I'm getting this job that has nothing to do with what I even went to school for, what was the point? You know, I don't have the qualifications that's needed. And, you know, the society continually can bombard you with the feeling of being worthless. But when we're constantly in communication with God, when we're constantly setting apart that time to pray, that time to meditate on his word, we begin to start fighting that feeling of worthlessness. We're able to say, wow, his word says that he loves me. It said that he knew me before I was even a thought. He already knew me. It says that he calls me, right? When you're able to constantly be in communion with God, he begins to fill you with his love and with his joy and with his peace, and it makes you feel like you're worth something. Even when the world, and unfortunately sometimes parents might say, you're not going to amount to anything. What are you doing with your life? You're dumb. You're stupid. Sorry, I said stupid. But people go through that. So if they don't fill their minds with the right thing, with Jesus, with the word, they're stuck in this. I put another thing, connecting to the body of Christ. You will hear that a lot coming up. We need to connect with one another. It says in 1 Peter 5:8-9, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So when you begin to connect to the body of believers, when you begin to connect with women or connect with men or the other families, you realize, oh, wow, you're going through something too? I'm not weird. I'm not strange. I'm not like, when it says that you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And sometimes you feel a relief when you know that other people are suffering alongside you. You're like, okay, I'm not the only one. It's the devil's tactic. It's his plan. It doesn't mean you're necessarily walking in sin. And sometimes we feel like that. We're like, why am I being attacked? Am I walking? No. Sometimes yes, but sometimes no. That's the devil wants to attack you. He wants you to stop you in your tracks so you can't fulfill the purpose and the destiny that he's called you to. He wants you not to connect with other people. He wants you to miss out on activities where we can get together, because he doesn't want you to know, oh, there's people that could pray with you. There's people that have been through the situation and gotten through it, and they can help pull you out of there. He doesn't want that. I once heard, if women all got together on the same page and prayed, what just magnificent things would happen in this world, what game-changing things would happen in your communities, in your families, in the country, if we all connected, if we all got together, if we all were real with one another, and realize that, like I said yesterday, we're on the same journey. We all want to get to heaven. We all want to live our lives with purpose and committed and submitted to Jesus. We need each other to do that. Number three is stepping into your worth. You need to know your worth. Again, you can't know your worth if you don't know the word. We're going to say that so many times. It's something important. As I was writing this, I remembered when Hannah was little. She's so big now. And we'd do our bedtime prayers, and we'd say this thing, and I'd say, I love you. And she'd say, I love you more. And then I'd say, I love you most. And then she'd like say, I love you more. And then, but I would always end it, but Jesus loves you more. And she got older, and she would say that part, but Jesus loves me more. We have to let our kids know that Jesus loves them more than we ever could. We will fail over and over and over and over and over. Society will fail them over and over and over. Your spouse will fail you over and over and over. But if we're grounded in knowing that Jesus loves us, if we know that no matter what, Jesus loves me. I can mess up 100 times and I still could turn around and he'll still be there with open arms and realize that, oh, whoa, he still loves me. When you realize that, when you know your worth, then you're able to fulfill your purpose, because nothing, you'd be like, enemy, when he starts selling those things, my little kids, all right, he didn't, just shut up. I do that so many times. Like, I'm like, no, just shut up. Like, that's not who I am. It's just that I've been given authority on this earth, and I don't have to take that. I know what the word of God says. I know what to dwell on. Begin memorizing those scripture. Begin to meditate on it. And you, there are moments in all of our lives. Like I said, it's not just for those that haven't received Jesus. It's for us now, even when we have. It's a constant battle where we're like, okay, I haven't read my Bible today. I can't read it tomorrow or talk to God tomorrow because he's going to be mad at me because I didn't talk to him yesterday. Guys, I've been there where I'm like, I can't talk to God. He's going to yell at me because I haven't talked to him in 2 days. It's a lie. It's a lie. And we need to realize that just because we haven't talked to him doesn't mean we can't turn around and talk to him at that moment. That moment that you realize, I haven't talked to God, get on your knees and say, Lord God, forgive me. I haven't talked to you. I'm sorry. And here I am. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. You're able to fulfill your purpose. And also, I truly believe when you know your worth, you will worship God in a new level. I was sitting with somebody and they had asked me, you know, when did, you know, I start worshiping or if my worship life changed. And I was thinking, and it was like when I began to realize my worth in Jesus wasn't dependent on who I was or what I did, when I began to realize that no matter how many times I messed up, I was still worth the same amount to him, that's when my worship changed, because I realized that I have a God of grace and a God of mercy, and a God of love. So when he filled me and let me realize how much I'm worth to him, then in turn, I'm like, wow, God, you are worth so much to me. Like, if you think I'm worth all of that, like, then God, how can I hold back my praise to you? How can I, like, you've showed me so much mercy time and time and time again. You showed me your grace time and time and time again. How can I not worship you? How can I not, like, just shout out and praise your name when really you should say you just stink? Really, we do. We sin so much, we're like a stench to God. But he says, come to me. Imagine, I know a little graphic, but this is what I was imagining as I was picking up my dog's poop yesterday. Imagine you rolled around in poop and you went to hug somebody, And that's us to Jesus. But Jesus is like, come on. I love it. He says, come on. Stench and all, poop and all. Come on and hug me. And then he cleans us. He cleanses us. He's like, let me clean you up. Let me clean you. Right? It's when we realize our worth, it doesn't mean, all right, now I realize my worth and I'm just going to sin all the time. Because you know what? It doesn't matter if I sin. Jesus still loves me the same. He does. But there's consequences to your actions. So don't get mad when you start walking around just, you know, flipping the bird at people and just cussing people out. It's not how it works. When you know your worth and you walk in the righteousness of God, when you walk in your purpose, you will do amazing things. The Word of God. We need to begin to step in. I feel like we're, you know, we see all these crazy things going on in the news. We're talking about the news. And really, if we just knew our worth or the worth of those that have yet to come, I feel like we would be a different US of A, right? Where we've been talking, and I know you guys are probably like, abortion, like you guys talk about it all the time, but it's so important. I was reading a post somebody I used to work with had written, and she was like, oh, but you're letting these unwanted kids in the world. Wouldn't you rather them, you know, not live in a world where they were unwanted? The foster care system is, you know, abounding in children, and so why bother having them? And I was just like, if you understood the worth of a child before they were even born, if you understood the scriptures that said that he knit you together, that he knew you before you were even formed in the womb, then you wouldn't be able to say that. Many of you know that I am adopted. I am a result of the foster care system. So when people say that, oh, they're not wanted, just I would not be standing here today if the woman that bore me, if the woman that couldn't take care of me decided, you know what? She had 12 kids. She's like, this is number 6. Forget it. I would not be standing here today. And that's what we have to think about. I know so many other people who have been in the foster care system, and they're able to stand and they're able to say, wow, God saved me. Those that you know, people try to abort, but God saved, and they're doing great things. And when we begin to value each other and look at each other as, wow, they're worth something to God. When we're able to look at our brothers and sisters who might have messed up and hurt us and offended us, but when we look at them and say, wow, but God sees them as fearfully and wonderfully made, even though I want to rip off their head. If we start to see them the way God sees them and say, wow, they've got worth and they've got purpose, then I feel like our view, not even just on ourselves, but our view on others would change when we begin to realize each one of us is precious. Each one of us is loved by God just the same. Each one of us has a plan and a purpose. Let's help each other fulfill that plan and purpose. When we see somebody, one of our brothers or sisters, down and out and beating themselves up, lift them up and say, no. That's sometimes when we have to speak the scripture into each other. I do that to Sam and Han all the time. Sam says I'm the walking Bible because I have a scripture quote for everything. But speaking life, there's sometimes my family members say something and I'm like, no. And I speak the word of God over them. Get me that oil. Rub it all up on them, right? Do that to your family members. Or, you know what? If you hear me talking negatively about myself, stop me and speak a word of life. But I have to know the word of life. I have to know the Bible. I can't say how important it is to memorize scripture. I'm not saying you have to memorize it from Genesis to Revelation, but you should know at least 5 scriptures for every situation. That's what I say. If you're feeling worthless, these are my 5 scriptures. If I'm feeling like, you know, I've got no milk in the fridge, these are my 5 scriptures of God's providence. If somebody in my family is sick, these are my 5 scriptures on healing where I can be like, God, I'm standing. I'm not just standing, I'm living your word, and I believe it, and it's true. when we believe our worth, when we believe that we're still worthy, we truly believe the word of God. Because, you know, sometimes when we feel unworthy, we don't believe these promises are any longer for us because we messed up. It's a lie. The promises are still for you. They will always be for you. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, he died for us. I envision sometimes when Jesus was being beat, sometimes I envision the first whip. And you know what I envision him saying each time? I love you. Whip. I love you. Whip. I still love you. Whip. I still love you. All 39 times, I envision him saying, Catherine, I love you. I knew you would sin. I knew you would mess up. I knew you would be laying in bed with somebody. I knew you'd be at the bar taking that shot. I still love you. You were still a sinner, and yet I'm still going to die. I still love you. Some of you need to know that Jesus still loves you. He doesn't care who you've been with. He doesn't care how many times you messed up. He doesn't care if you got a GED or a PhD. You're still worth the same amount as every one of us. I'm not worth more than Ed. Ed's not worth more than Jumi. Jumi's not worth more than Rich. We're all worth the same. We're all precious in his sight. And if we can stand on that and remember that as Jesus was being beat, as he was being whipped, he had us on his mind. He's like, they're worth it. I'm doing this. I'm being beat. I'm being nailed to a cross because I believe they are worth that and more. God said they're worth it. That's why he sent his son, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son because we're worth it. He said it was worth the beating. It was worth the persecution. It was worth the people spitting on him. It was worth going and just being denied by those that followed him. It was worth it. You were worth it. So don't think of Jesus just as this person that dwelt at this time, because at the scripture, it says that while we were still sinners, we weren't even created yet. We weren't even born. This is that, unless you guys are thousands of years old, y'all look good if you are. We weren't even a thought process. They didn't even know we were coming. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means while he was dying, he knew Catherine would be on this earth in 1986, I was born. But Catherine would be born, and I'm doing it for her for thousands of years later. That Angeline would be born thousands of years later, I'm doing it for her. That Minleg would be born thousands of years later, and she's going to need me. She needs a savior, and she's worth it for me to do this. If we realize that while we were still sinners, Jesus said, you're worth it, and I'm going to take every beating for you, then nothing can stand in the way of the purpose that God has called you to do. Nothing. I'm going to close soon, but we see, like I said, Saul, this man who persecuted Christians. He killed them. He jailed them. Nobody would think that this guy would eventually go out and be preaching about Jesus. They're like, that's not him. But God called him. Even while he was sinning, he stopped him dead in his tracks and said, you have a purpose. And like I said, he had a choice. He could have said, I'm not worthy. I'm worthless. Look what I did. But he didn't. He took on what God, the purpose God called him to do, and he set forth. And he went out and he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus, and he won over people to the Lord because he decided to, you know what, I'm not going to dwell in what I've done. I'm going to keep continuing the race. And God said that he's got a plan. God said he called me. All right, let me walk in that and believe and trust that his word is true. I want to show a little a video, a spoken word video that I found on Worth. I believe it's called I Am Worthy. And remember that every time those thoughts of worthlessness enter our minds, we need to transform it. And the only way we could do that is through the Word of God. The only way we could renew our mind is by being in His presence, by being surrounded by Him, by sitting in our living rooms or kitchens or maybe bathrooms if you're a mom and you can't go anywhere else, but sometimes they follow you there too. Thank God when they're 13, they no longer follow you to the bathroom. But I know, mom, sometimes it's hard. And it was funny. I was listening to Priscilla Shire as she was speaking on when she was a mom, when her kids were little, and she wasn't able to study like she wanted to. And she just put a scripture, like one scripture card, maybe on the mirror or on the refrigerator or something, and she just hold on to that scripture. We're not saying that you have to sit down and read an entire chapter of the Bible. No, it could be one scripture that you're meditating on and you're realizing that, wow, Jesus loves me. Wow. Little technical difficulties, but they'll get it up. It was already opened unless you closed them all out. Oh, okay. Hold on. Sorry. I have worth. I have worth. After this video, Sam's going to play a song and I'm going to pray. But I really ask that you listen to the words of this spoken word. And even those things, it's a simple message. But if you actually grasp it and understand, like Thor with that hammer, when he received it again, after all that stuff, he thought he was garbage and he still received the hammer. That's like Jesus. We think we're garbage, but Jesus is like, I still have my love for you. You can always have it. My salvation is always there. You can have it. So as we watch this, you don't even have to look at it. I mean, he's speaking. If you want to, you can. But just meditate on it and let God speak to you.
From the day I was born, I had one question that plagued my mind, and it wouldn't leave me, so in my late night hours, I would try to find a kind of answer to this uncertainty of mine. Do I have worth? So I did all I could to prove that I did. I practiced, I prepared, and I performed. Sometimes I performed well, and my work appreciated. And I knew because others would tell me. They told me that I mattered. They told me that I was valued. They told me that I was seen. But there was a dark side to these reactions, a cause for personal attraction, a reason that instilled fear behind this glamorous veneer. Sometimes I failed. Sometimes I performed poorly and my work depreciated. And I knew because others would tell me. They told me that I messed up. They told me that I had no value. They told me that I was clearly seen. Or rather that my mistakes were. So the thought that plagued my mind and never declined, it only increased like a plus sign. Do I have worth? At times it felt like I did, and other times it felt like I didn't, and I was crushed in the confusion of my chaos. Then that day came. I felt worthless, like a computer that kept crashing, like an engineer that kept rehashing, like a newlywed couple that kept clashing. I was worthless, or at least I thought I was. Then these words hit me. God doesn't make junk. It was hard to admit because I was completely unfit. I was about to lose it as I heard the words of this skit, the words that would later acquit me. God doesn't make junk. A beautiful creature created in the hands of a magnificent creator, and nothing that changes, past, present, or future. I have worth. I may fail 100 times, I may fail 1,000 times, I may fail 10,000 times, but nothing will change the truth that has liberated this heart of mine, that I have worth. And today, I boldly proclaim the conclusion to the question that crushed me like cancer, that freed me when I found the answer, that I have worth. So are you. Because God has created you with worth.
Amen. If everyone could just close your eyes. Bow your heads. I know that we're constantly bombarded with bosses telling us that we've messed up. Sometimes our parents telling us that we've messed up. Sometimes we ourselves are kicking ourselves because we're not the best parent. We've messed up. We're not married yet and we've been waiting for years. We must have done something wrong. We've messed up. I'm not worth a husband. I'm not worth a wife. But I'm here to tell you that you are worth. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are loved. You are God's workmanship. That God has a plan to prosper, not a plan to harm you. You are the head and not the tail. You are beautiful in His sight. He loves you. You have worth. And with every eye closed, if you're struggling right now, if you're struggling and saying, you know what, Catherine, right now I'm having such a difficult time believing that God could think that I'm worth the purpose that He called me for. There's no way I could fulfill the purpose that God has planned for me. I've just messed up so much. I've made so many mistakes. There's no way He can still feel the same way about me. If that's you, can you just slip up your hand real quick and put it right back down? You say, I'm having a hard time knowing that despite all my mess ups, despite all my mistakes, God still thinks I'm worthy. God still thinks I'm worth it. My teachers may have given up on me. My family may have given up on me, but God still sees something in me. Want the altars are open. I know some of you raised your hand. You can come forward if you would like somebody to pray with you and just sometimes hug you. Sometimes we don't even want anybody to speak. How many of you know that sometimes I just want to hug? I don't want you to say anything. If you want, you could come up. If not, I'm gonna pray. But please don't let anything hold you back. If you raised your hand and you want, you're like, God, I want to know what it is you see in me. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
I find that I'm safe. And
someone here that God is saying, I love you so much. There is nothing that you can do to separate yourself from my love. There's nothing. Come to me. I don't care about the mistakes. I don't care about what you're doing, what you did before you walked through these doors. Come to me. Again, the altars are open.
And you see me, and you know me, and you love me through and through. I find that I'm safe and
by yourself, you can stand right where you are. Just stand and believe that now you're standing in your worth. Just stand and know that it doesn't matter if you're at the altar, it doesn't matter if you're in your seat, that His love will pour out over you. Just stand and make a proclamation that today I choose to know my worth. Today I choose to walk in my worth. Today I choose to realize that God has created me, that God knows me. No matter what I've done, He's called me for a plan and a purpose. Lord God, we thank you. Lord God, we glorify you. Lord God, I thank you for the work that you are doing in the lives of your people, oh God. Lord God, I know that right now you are moving in their hearts, oh God. I know that you are speaking to them, oh God. Oh God, I know, oh God, that you are pouring, oh God, your love over them. Oh God, that you are beginning to heal those secret places, oh God, that they don't want anyone to know about. Oh God, they want everyone to think they're okay. Oh God, but you know. And you are healing right now those places of brokenness. Oh God, those that are going through the bullying at school, God, where their classmates, oh God, are telling them that they're nothing, that they're worthless, that they're invaluable. Oh God, those negative thoughts that are constantly bombarding their minds, oh God, we pray for healing, oh God, of their mind right now. Oh God, we pray, oh God, that they would have a new mind, oh God. Oh God, that when those words come at them, oh God, it doesn't even enter in. Oh God, we pray a hedge of protection around them, oh God, so when those words come at them, oh God, right away, oh God, they begin, oh God, to speak life into themselves, oh God. Oh God, help us be a church, oh God, that teaches our children your words. Oh God, when those things are coming towards them, oh God, that they can stand upon your word. Oh God, help us. We thank you, God, for creating us. Lord God, we thank you that just as you called Saul, despite him just being a brutal person, oh God, you called him and you used him. You restored him, oh God. And we believe that what you did for him, oh God, we might not be as bad. We could be saying, I've never killed anybody. I've never persecuted anybody. But we all have our own sin that we've done. Oh God, we thank you that you can transform us. And that you still say that we're worthy. That you still say you have a purpose and a plan. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.